The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Do you realize that what you say is not always as important as how you say it? Can you get up in front of any audience at any time and be dynamic? Welcome to Communication Nation with your host, Jill Schiffelbein. Today, we'll demonstrate how small changes in communication behaviors can have a big impact on a business's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Jill Schiffelbein.
Hello, everyone. Today is Tuesday, August 27th, 2013, and I am joined by a super special guest in my studio. Well, let's put it quite frankly, all my guests are super special. But this one's near and dear to my heart for many reasons that you'll learn about in a little bit. Mr. Andrew John, a co-owner of John's Refrigeration, which is a local business in Phoenix, Arizona. And we're going to be talking all about customer service, creating raving fans, and really how to provide an experience for your customers that they remember when you're providing a service. And if you're in business, you are a service provider. Some of us think of ourselves maybe as selling products, but no, the product isn't what sells. The service or the value that the client gets from the product is what sells. So we're all in the service industry, and that's what we're going to be discussing today. But before I go into telling you all about our guest, Andrew John, I want to take a pause and use this whole media space for something fun. Today is my father's 61st birthday, so a very happy birthday to Paul Schiffelbein. I hope you are listening out there and enjoying the show. As always, he is an awesome guy. He knows logistics and Excel like a ninja. I think I could call him the Excel ninja, and he would probably appreciate that. And he's laughing now, and so are all of his coworkers. So I had to do that little bit of embarrassment, the equivalent of that Hi Mom poster that athletes do. Well, this is mine. So happy birthday, Dad. I love you very much. But now back to the regularly scheduled programming with our guest, Andrew John. And Andrew and I met through the Gilbert Chamber of Commerce. And you've heard a couple of guests on the show from the Gilbert Chamber. And I do this not only, one, because I like to support local businesses, but two, because in every community across the country, across the world for that matter, there are groups of small business owners who work together to make the community a better place for everyone around them. And Andrew is one of those people. So we've collaborated on a lot of things. His company has actually hired me to come in and do training for their team, from their technicians to their salespeople to their guys in the field to their management, etc. And it's been a really good experience. And one of the things that I've come to very much respect about John's Refrigeration as a company is Andrew and his team's service philosophy. And so when I thought about what else I could add to Communication Nation to give value to the listeners, I thought, let's have a conversation with someone who really understands the value of customer service, the importance of customer service. And I couldn't think of a better person than Andrew, because let me put it quite frankly to you here. It's a service-based industry. Heating, air conditioning, it's not, let's say, the most sexy thing in the world, but we all need it at some point in time. And if you live in Phoenix, you definitely need it, especially in the summer. For those of you on the East Coast or in other parts of the world where you have the opposite problem, you need it during the winter. And so it's one of those industries that doesn't have the most, let's say, pristine reputation for having people that are clean, well-mannered, articulate, who help to educate their customers, who come into your home and you don't feel, well, creepy. You know, I joke, I have a friend who does carpets, and I call him, I say, DJ, you know what? You are the non-creepy carpet guy. You know, he'll come into your home and you feel safe. And as a single woman, you know, that's really important to you when you're in your home. Or if you are a person who either lives alone or is at home alone, I don't care if you're male or female, it is scary to have someone you don't know come into your home from a company that you don't know. And so Andrew and I are going to discuss with all of you today their philosophy on customer service, how they, you know, in a way take that creep factor out of what they do. But what I like about it is when people think of providing customer service, they don't typically think of technicians out in the field that are doing your AC repair. They don't think of those employees as really needing customer service skills. But what's so important and what you'll learn here today is that every single employee in your company, no matter what their role, no matter what their rank, has a responsibility to maintain a reputation and not only maintain, but improve the reputation of a company. And so for all of you out there who have an employee, a contractor, an intern, they are all extensions of you, of your brand, of your business, of your service, of your value. And if you don't embrace that idea, you're going to struggle when it comes to maintaining a reputation over a long period of time. And Andrew John and John's Refrigeration, you know, they do an excellent job with this. I use them personally in my home, not just because, you know, hey, he did business with me, I did business with him. It wasn't even like that. It's because I needed a good person. And after I learned about all their philosophies, I said, I want these people in my house. That's the type of company I want to work with and support. And they've been around since 1970. And I'm saying this not to just, you know, toot Andrew's horn for him, but think about that, 1970, that is 43 years that a heating and air conditioning company has been in business in the Phoenix metropolitan area, in a large metropolitan area. How many other service-based companies of that nature can you think of in your area that have been around for 43 years? I can't think of many, which means they're obviously doing something right, and you'll learn a lot of that secret sauce today. But before I introduce Andrew, which I'm about to do in just a minute, I really want to contextualize, you know, in my communication terminology, this idea of customer service, and I'm going to tie it back like I normally do to previous shows. It all comes down to the relationship. And if you've listened to the show before, you've heard me say this a million times. And so you're probably thinking, really, Jill, you don't have anything else of value to add? Trust me, I will. It'll be in the takeaway of the day at the end. But if you think about relationships, customer service, the reputation of your company, your brand, a customer's comfort factor with you, all depends on the relationship that you have. And when you have a service-based company that sends technicians out into the field, so if you're a company who sends salespeople out into the field, whatever it is, whenever you have someone that is an arm, an extension of your company going out there, you have to make sure that they are trained in the same philosophies of relationship building that you want to display for your business. And so if you conceptualize it that way, we don't just see customer service as taking care of the customer, which is a traditional definition, right? If you're thinking, you know, let's look in a textbook and look up customer service, you know, it'll have some definition to do with being able to take care and service the customer in the way that makes them happy. I mean, I'm just making this up, but that's the generalized definition that people agree on. And it's really not even about that. It's first about forming that relationship, because you will create happy customers after you form that relationship. So it's a reciprocal thing. It happens in unison. You can't have good customer service without a relationship, or at least a perceived relationship with a company. And we're going to get into all of that today and talk about one concept that Andrew really embraces in his business called the idea of getting raving fans. So without further ado, Andrew, welcome to the show.
Morning, Jill. Thanks for having me.
I am so happy to have you here. And we are going to go into our first break here shortly, but I want to know from your perspective, why are you so passionate about customer service?
Well, I used to think good customer service was normal. As you said, my dad started the business back in 1970, and it's pretty much all I've ever done. So working with customers that I saw on a regular basis, you know, it was like we always did the right thing. They were always happy, and everything was great. And then as time grew on and this valley grew, I really started to see that customer service isn't normal. So we started having to find, as we got bigger and got more people involved, how do we keep that level of customer service that we started with? How do we keep it now, 43 years later, and how do we continue to do it every single day? Because it's really what embodies us.
And that's good. And, you know, when I first visited your company, we had a lot of conversations about your mission statement, your vision statement, your philosophy. How much do you see customer service as embedded in your company culture?
It has to be embedded in every single thing. Every single person has to buy into it. Everybody has to believe that that customer is the most important thing in the world right now, because without those customers, let's face it, we don't have a business.
It's true. And a lot of people think, you know, we make the customer happy one time and the job ends there. What do you think about that?
No, obviously we've still got customers that have been, you know, with my dad since the 70s, and so it's a continual thing that you have to do every single time. Not only when you're taking care of them, but when you mess up a little bit too. So it's a continual thing. We can't forget about it.
And how do you? I mean, you know, when we started talking about customer service the first time, and more context for the listeners here, right before we get into our first break, it's. You know, you talked to me and you said, you know, Jill, I know what you do is important, and I know communication is a big part of what we're trying to do. And I got to go in. I got to intimately learn about John's Refrigeration. I did a test run with one of their technicians who came to my house. I learned the company philosophies and then crafted a training session for their whole team. And what I loved about it is when I went in there, and again, people, this is, you know, some context. This is a service-based industry where you have people ranging from technicians who barely have their GED to managers who have MBAs and who have been running companies for years. And so it was a very diverse audience, and to try to reach all of them was a challenge for me, and I loved it. I felt so awesome when I left that room. I remember that feeling. Your team was awesome. But what was fascinating to me is whenever I talked about something related to customer service, every single person in the room got it. It clicked. I didn't need to define it. I didn't need to repeat that language. And that is a testament to you and how this has really matriculated down through your company culture. And so what, you know, when you're thinking about how it just doesn't need to be the management, what would you have to say to people who are thinking about integrating more customer service philosophies?
You're right. It can't just be management, because if you sit down in a manager's meeting and you decide that you want to do something, if you don't get the buy-in from everybody who's working for you, then that idea just goes right out the window. So it's the same thing with customer service. If we get somebody who just doesn't agree with that and just says, hey, you know what, let me just go up there and make it work and thanks, sign here, and, you know, I'm gone. If they don't create that wow experience, then they don't create a raving fan. You know, if they don't put the red carpet out and put on the floor protection, you know, then they don't create that. So we have to get that buy-in, and that's why we talk about it daily, weekly, you know, all the time.
And it's really good. I like how you also put the word experience in there, because customer service is tied to relationships, which are tied to experiences. And when we come back from break, we're going to dive into this a lot more and go more into detail on this idea of creating raving fans. And when Andrew says they roll out the red carpet for you, they really do. When they come to your house, they roll out this red carpet where they take their, you know, they clean their boots off, they put on the protective sleeves and everything so your house is clean. It's a really cool, as he just said, experience. And he'll share these ideas with you, and you can start thinking of how your business can create a better customer experience, which will lead to that relationship and lead to that level of service. We'll be right back on Communication Nation. If you're listening to us, shout us out on Twitter at Impromptu Guru. We love to hear from you, and we're happy to take questions. We'll be right back.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post on our wall your thoughts about our shows and network. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Are you a business innovator, or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Communication is the key to success, both on and off the field. I'm communication expert Jill Schiffelbein, the Impromptu Guru. As a former athlete, I know what it takes to be successful as you go from the locker room to the boardroom and all points in between. I will teach you presentation, communication, confidence. With skills like that, you know you'll always be in business. Get the tools you need to succeed at impromptuguru.com/athletes. Again, that's impromptuguru.com/athletes.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics. Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
The business community's first choice in Internet talk radio. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Communication Nation with Jill Schiffelbein. Do you have a question for Jill? Send an email and she'll answer it on a future program. The email address is jill@impromptuguru.com. That's jill@impromptuguru.com. Now back to Communication Nation.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to Communication Nation. We are joined today by special guest Andrew John, co-owner of John's Refrigeration, a company that's been around for 43 years. And we are talking about customer service and creating raving fans. And when we left off, to sum up the first segment, we were talking about how customer service is not just this isolated event, that it also involves building relationships, fostering relationships, and producing customer experiences. And so when you have relationship plus experience, it equals service. This is my new equation. I'm sure it's probably out there somewhere, but if not, I should trademark it because I like it. That's good. You heard it here first. So as we go on, we are going to dive into this conversation about raving fans. And Andrew really has this philosophy embedded in his company, trained to all of the employees from the low entry-level employee to the top-tier upper manager and everyone in between. They all play an equal role in the customer experience equation. And that's really important for people to know. And definitely, you know, a lot of companies think of this top-down philosophy where they need to get the management buy-in before they can get it to trickle down to the rest of the company. And I do understand that philosophy, and I'm not saying it's good or bad. Depending on the way your company's set up, that may or may not work. But what is important is getting the buy-in from everybody in the company, not forcing a philosophy on someone, but letting people help create that philosophy, help create that idea, help create what for John's Refrigeration is a raving fan. And we're going to talk a little bit about how Andrew's worked with his company to make that happen. So Andrew, tell us where this idea of raving fans came from.
Well, Raving Fans, as many people will know, is actually a book by Ken Blanchard. And we were introduced to it years ago, and it became such a part of our business that we actually require the reading of it before you can actually get employment with us. And the idea behind Raving Fans is that when you can create a customer experience that creates not a happy customer but a raving fan, then those people continue to come back. They don't think of going anywhere else. And I'll read one of the excerpts that I love from this book. It says, you know, that customers are only satisfied because their expectations are so low and because no one else is doing better. So just having satisfied customers isn't good enough anymore. If you want a booming business, you have to create raving fans. And that's why we really latched onto that so much, because we were seeing this lack of customer service and this customers that were just, okay, they didn't screw up too bad, I'll call them again. We didn't want to be that way. So we wanted to continue to create raving fans and create a culture that allowed us to do that.
And so I just want to reemphasize this. Every single person, before they can start employment with your company, has to read this book.
They have to read the book. They have to go and get it themselves before they actually get a formal interview.
And so when... You know, so let's think about this. If we're a company, we're trying to hire, we're trying to create this culture from day one, what then in the interview process do you do to ensure that people have taken this step and understand it?
We want to make sure that they read it. Raving Fans has some really good examples. It's a fictional book, but it's a fictional book that has to do with certain companies that provided exceptional customer service. So we'd like to know which one they liked the best. You know, did you like the grocery store the best? Did you like the gas station the best? What did you like and what did you like about it? It's not necessarily this big, long, drawn-out conversation. It's more of a fact that they actually took the time to get it, and they understand that our philosophy of doing business is based on that idea.
Okay, and so you get this, you know, enculturation, this acclimation to the company started early, right off the bat, before people come into the door. So you know that even if they don't have the mindset of creating the raving fan, they've at least understood the basic principles of it.
Right. They know where we're at.
Good. And so tell us, and what are the principles, the underlyings, these aspects of a raving fan that you want people to really get and understand?
There's a couple of things that we'll talk about there, because that raving fan mentality is a fragile relationship, because most customers, they've been taken advantage of, they've been burned before, and you're trying to pull them in and show you how great you are, and then they try to resist usually. So we have to be consistent, and by being consistent, we're able to overcome that resistance, but then they do continue to watch us. So what I always say, as lots of people say, is, you know, you have to walk your talk. If you're going to talk this way, if you're going to say we want raving fans, we have to do that. So one of the things that I talk about is guaranteed provable solutions every single time. So for instance, we have 100% money back guarantee. No matter what the issue is, right or wrong, whether it was something with us or something with the customer, doesn't matter. Part of why we did that is because, one, we had to decide what we wanted, right? You know, we wanted to create a vision of perfection centered around our customer. So we really needed to know, hey, what do we want? And then we had to discover, what does the customer want, right? Because it's not what we want for them, it's the experience that they want. And then we decided, as part of this raving fan mentality, which is in this book, is deliver what they want plus 1%. Do better every single time. And that's why things like this money back guarantee came out. Things like, you know what, no matter what, you're always going to be happy. We're always going to make it right. And by doing that, our customers can't make a bad decision, because all of the weight is on our shoulders. So, you know, all that proof, all everything there, that's us.
When you took on that, let's say, burden of proof, if you want to throw out a legal term here, you know, for your customers, I'm sure at some decision, you know, in your managerial meetings, you're probably thinking, okay, how much risk are we going to assume here? So I can think of listeners sitting out there, okay, yeah, that's great in theory, but, you know, what risk am I putting myself out? Because a lot of people are risk adverse, and it, you know, I can't blame them for it. It's still a tough economy, but at the same time, you got to be willing to risk to thrive.
I used to think that, you know, like, oh my gosh, what are we doing here? And I had a real friend of mine and a business consultant by the name of Mark Gaylor. We were in a class, and he says, you should offer 100% money-back guarantee. And I said, wait a minute here. You know, what about that customer? And he says, how many of those do you get? I said, almost none. He says, so you mean to tell me, no matter what the price tag, if somebody came to you and said, I'm not happy, I want my money back, what would you do? I said, I'd give them their money back. He says, so why are you afraid to say you have a money-back guarantee? You've had one for years. You've just never told anybody about it. Well, I thought about that, and I was like, duh, you're right. So that's kind of where we just started saying, hey, you know what? Let's practice what we preach. Let's put it out there so that everybody knows.
And a lot of business owners, you know, they think when it comes to customer service policies, customer retention, et cetera, that they don't want to make those promises because they're afraid of getting taken advantage of. What I've found, though, is if you're doing your job as a business, that's not going to happen. Yes, there may always be that one person, you know, or that one client. Let's be honest, we've all had them. But is that the majority, the vast majority, or 90%? No, not at all.
Right. Yeah, that person very rarely exists. And do we give money back? Yeah, I sign checks sometimes for $10. I sign checks for $500, you know, for various reasons. The fact is that we do it. And we also came to an understanding that not everybody is our perfect customer. Not everybody appreciates what we do and the level of perfection that we strive for. So that idea of having those guarantees also protects us from that person that really is not, you know, a good fit for us, and therefore, you know, everybody has that customer that calls up and they're like, oh my gosh, that person again. Well, why? You know, let's treat everybody right. Let's keep the good ones. Let's keep the people who appreciate what we're doing, and then we're all happier.
And it's a really interesting concept because so many people in business, and you know, in a previous episode, we talked about niche marketing. And so some of these concepts will be repeated if you've listened to that. But when you're thinking about customer service, right, you provide the experience, you provide the relationship, you get customer service. Well, relationships are a two-way street. They don't exist in a vacuum. You can't have one person pushing for a relationship and not the other. You know, in, you know, sociology and communication and psychology, they call that unrequited love, you know, and it happens, but it doesn't work out. If that's the case, it doesn't work out. So a relationship is a two-way street. And as a business owner, service provider, product provider, value provider, whatever you want to categorize yourself as, you have the ability to choose who you do and do not form relationships with. But again, so many of us are scared, especially if you're just starting out. Oh my gosh, I need to take every client that comes to me, every paying job that I can get, and you run yourself into the ground. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that at first, because you kind of experiment and learn things that you like. I've learned through experimentation in my business that there are certain types of clients, clients in certain industries, that, you know what, that's just not the best fit for me. Can I help them? Yes. Can I do a good job? Yes. But do I get a ton of fulfillment from it? No. And you have to be able to say no as a business owner, because the experience and the relationship, it's a two-way street. So Andrew, when you're thinking about these two-way streets, do you have a good example of a, you know, experience where a customer had a negative experience at first and you turned it positive, and how did that happen?
I think we have, we've obviously got lots of different ones. I think the biggest one comes with communication. Which is, you know, why you and me have talked so much. Generally, it seems like most times if somebody has an issue, it's not because of something that we did. I mean, yes, we have those things where you know, somebody falls through the attic. You know what I mean? Okay, you get somebody out, you get it fixed, customer's not happy, but because we're immediately on top of it saying, hey, don't worry about it, we've already made the phone call, the guy's on his way, right? But the communication side of it is I think, our biggest challenge, which is why we brought you in to talk to everybody. Because what we find is that most of those times, it has something to do with, I said this, you understood this, and therefore we got off on the, you know, on the wrong foot. Or they expected this but got this. Well, the easy way to handle that is, well, whatever you expected, no problem, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah, and you know, establishing mutual expectations is so important. And you know, this is a yet another shameless plug for a video I have on establishing, you know, mutual expectations. You can go online and find it at impromptuguru.com. And it's funny because Andrew laughs because he's watched the video. He knows exactly what video I'm talking about, and he actually has purchased all of them for his business, and they use them in training. It's, you know, it's really neat to see a company who embraces customer service on this level. And he even tied it in for me perfectly. I don't even need to say how customer service is related to communication. Well, bam, you have it right there. And we're going to go into our next break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to Andrew about and ask him to share with us some of the things that he's done in his company. So he has this idea of the raving fan, that he makes people read this book before they interview. But then once they're employed, how do they maintain that company culture? How do they maintain that motivation in their employees to want to provide that experience and create those relationships with customers? If you're listening, you have a question, you just want to chat, tweet us out at Impromptu Guru. We would love to hear from you. We'll be right back on Communication Nation.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
Communication is the key to success, both on and off the field. I'm communication expert Jill Schiffelbein, the Impromptu Guru. As a former athlete, I know what it takes to be successful as you go from the locker room to the boardroom and all points in between. I will teach you presentation, communication, confidence. With skills like that, you know you'll always be in business. Get the tools you need to succeed at impromptuguru.com/athletes. Again, that's impromptuguru.com/athletes.
It's all about action.
Touchdown!
Scores.
Taking a look at the NBA tonight.
Highlights.
He's broken loose. He's at the 30.
And headlines.
Big trade in the NFL this afternoon.
When you are looking to talk sports, look no further than the Voice America Sports Network. We bring you some of the biggest names and all the sports news you can handle. Whether it's basketball.
Off the glass.
Football.
Come on. Food.
Golf. Racing. Or the Olympics.
We've got you covered. We'll even cover tailgating. Tune in to the Voice America Sports Network. It's all things sports.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand, all from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Communication Nation with Jill Schiffelbein. Do you have a question for Jill? Send an email and she'll answer it on a future program. The email address is jill@impromptuguru.com. That's jill@impromptuguru.com. Now back to Communication Nation.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to our third segment on today's Communication Nation with special guest co-owner of John's Refrigeration, Andrew John, a service-based business that's been in business for 43 years now. And we're talking all about customer service, raving fans, and how to really get the customer service mentality through to all of your employees, from the person who just walked in the door and started with your company to the person who's been there for decades, how to get everyone to embrace that idea and to understand that idea. And we talked earlier as well, and I threw this equation out, you know, customer service really equals experience plus relationships. And I like that. The more and more that kind of sits in my head, the more and more I like that, because it's about communication, which goes into relationships, which goes into experience. We have to talk about establishing expectations, which is what we talked about in the previous segment. And all of these things can be done effectively if you create this culture of customer service within your company. And so I've asked Andrew to share with us. Now, again, he is John's Refrigeration. They are heating, a cooling. You know, I love his, one of his joking taglines is, we make it blow hot, we make it blow cold. And, you know, service-based industry, people are coming out into your home. It does not get more intimate than that in terms of a potential business client relationship. And so I asked him to share with all of us about the different types of training that they do with their whole team to get them to embrace this idea of customer service. You know, where does it start? Where does it end? Does it ever end? And I want him to share these with us today, because no matter what industry you're in, it'll give you an idea of where to start thinking about implementing training to improve customer service. So, Andrew, talk to us about what you do in that arena.
Thanks. Well, it started with our mission. You know, our mission with Raving Fans is to create raving fans by being professional consultants, providing the best customer service experience, saving our customers money, and helping them love their homes. We're not service. We are relationship driven. And by being relationship driven, that allows us to start changing that idea for our coworkers, because what we do know is that customers won't become raving fans unless they know they can count on you time and time again with everything you do. So it starts out with, over the last few years, we've been doing a lot of systems and training to keep things very consistent. And we're talking about from how do you answer the phone. Right, we have a company we use that records all of our phone calls. Not only do they record the phone calls, but they rate them for how good they were, whether or not we took care of that customer. And then they also have individual one-on-one training with every one of the people in the office that has regular that answers phone calls for customers. So that's just one thing starting there in the office. We also adopted something called a perfect service call, which really was an outline, right? Where do you park? You know, walk up to the door, take your sunglasses off, take two steps back, put the red carpet down, knock on the door, don't ring the doorbell. You know, explain, why are you here? Where are you going? What are you doing? So that we did get that customer buy-in, and they get this the same way every single time.
And one thing I'm going to interject here, just because I know this process, and for anyone out there who has a business that is a little more technical in nature, a business where your client or consumer may not always understand what you do. They know they need it, but they don't always understand what they do. What John's Refrigeration does is they actually have a, you know, a diagram of your house and what the heating and cooling units look like inside the house. And they will show you, they will point out on this picture where in the house they're going to go, explain why they're going to go there, so you don't just have some random person who you've never met before walking around and crawling into all types of spaces around your home. And this can translate to any business who is more technical in nature. If you're a web company and you're trying to explain your value to a customer by things what you do, having a diagram that makes an analogy with website infrastructure to point out to your clients would be a brilliant idea to get these conversations started. That's just one example of how you can think outside of the box and use what Andrew's telling you to help your company. Okay, so you talked about the phone training and you talked about this idea of the perfect service call from, I mean, the details, where a technician parks to what they do when they first walk into their home. What else do you have?
It continues to go from there. One of the biggest things that we've done is bring in people like yourself. So people who aren't us saying, hey, this is what we want you to do. We send the guys out of town to training. I've got 3-4 that are going to Philadelphia in a couple weeks, not only because they won a national award, but because they're going to one of the major HVAC conferences to get some further training as well. And we're really taking a new focus on conversational training, because one of the things I found was that obviously people don't teach communication very, you know, in school. Nobody teaches how to have a conversation with somebody. And we get so many people that, you know, they can sit in with their wife or their spouse, their mom, their dad, they can have a conversation. But you put them in front of somebody in somebody's home and they just go, I don't know, right? So we have also looked at that as saying, okay, we're going to sit down, we're going to role play, we're going to have a discussion with each other, we're going to talk about it. And so we continually do that in our weekly training seminars, and that's kind of just a new little focus that we're doing, because with all of the with all of the perfect service calls and all of our phone, we'll call them scripts, but that idea when a customer says, you know, A, then you have B to talk to them about, and you know that, and everybody's consistent. We just wanted to continue to try, and even though we have those systems, teach them how to have just a normal sit-down conversation with a friend, make that customer feel comfortable, you know, with what they're doing, and make them and let them understand that we really are here to help them.
And one of the things that you just talked about in terms of having scripts, and I want to put this out there to everyone, you know, as a speech coach, as a communication coach, some people ask me, well, what do you think of scripts? And they expect me to, you know, be, you know, recoil from it. Oh, scripts are bad. And scripts can be bad. Scripts can be awful if you don't empower your employees to be able to go off script, to be able to have conversations. And that's what's important. Scripts, in my opinion, are used effectively in companies where you have options. So if the customer says A, you can talk about B. And here's some language that you can use while you're training to talk about B. But as you get more experience, adapt this in your own conversational language. Because what happens when companies, and you all know this experience, the telemarketer calls, the people who work in call centers, they are forced in many cases to stick to a very specific script. And even if you tell them, you know, all I really want to learn is X, they will still go through that entire script and tell you X and Y and Z and probably T and U and all these letters before that you didn't even care about, because that's all they're empowered to do. And I understand why some companies do that, because they want to retain control. They want to make sure there's consistency in the messages going out. But if you're really trying to create an experience and a relationship, those things don't go off of scripts. Think of the relationships you have in your life, your personal relationships. Were those scripted? No, they're not scripted at all. The most fun nights that you have out with your family, with your friends, with your significant other, are those nights where the conversation just takes itself in crazy places and you end up laughing or crying, and none of that is scripted. That's the same feeling that we need to start transitioning into our business, the same type of feeling that we need to get with our customers. And so if you're out there and you're a business that uses scripts as a guide Don't use them as a mandate. And I'm going to repeat that again. Use scripts only as a guide, not as a mandate. You don't want your people to be robotic. You want your people to be empowered and have the efficacy to be able to provide the customer with what they really want, not what a piece of paper says. And so I think that's so important, Andrew, when you're talking about this idea of conversation. And we're talking about this idea of conversation, again, not just the phone, not just with the people answering the phone, not just with the technicians, but throughout the whole company.
Right. Yeah. Just everybody being able to sit down and have a conversation with somebody. And you're right. You know, the reason we put something down on paper is because we want to train them what that idea is and how to have that conversation with a customer. And then that's why we do things like ride-alongs. The other day I went out with one of the guys. I sat down with a customer. I just said, "Hey, can I pick your brain for 5 minutes?" And I just asked him, point, "How are we doing? How are we doing? What do you like? What do you not like? What can we do better in everything? You know, what do you like about our communication? What do you like about our education?" And that, you're right, you know, you can't have a scripted conversation with that. So you just have to come off, you know, off of that and just have a really good conversation.
And what's really interesting, and I'm going to refer back to another show because, when was it? I think it was in June sometime or July. I can't remember. Just look back through my archives, listeners. But I had Sean McLean, who is a regional sales manager for Safelight, on here, another service-based business. And if you are thinking about customer service, if you're thinking about managing a sales team or a technician team or a team of advocates and what that really means, listen to this show and then listen to that show as well, because you're really getting the idea, you know, and these two, both very successful businessmen, both people who have been in their industry for years, both of them thriving, and you're hearing some of the same things over and over again, just contextualized different based on the business model. And this is really important to be able not just to have these conversations, right, but to be able to have a conversation in a way that provides an experience, that builds a relationship, that leads to that customer service. And I really respect Andrew and what he's done with his company for that. And the other thing that I want you just to talk about really quickly is, how have you seen the success of weekly meetings? He has weekly meetings with his team, and if they're not in the door in time, they shut it and they're in trouble. Really quick, 30 seconds, tell us about those.
7 a.m. Meeting starts at 7, door locks. We cook breakfast every week. Once a month, it's the entire company together. Every other Tuesday morning, it is departmentalized for training and more focused. It's been awesome. One of the coolest things that we've done is something that we call attaboys. And we got this from another company, but we're able to, at our big company meeting, we're able to give these accolades. So let's say, Jill, they come out to your house, and your experience was so great that you just had to call us back and let us know. Well, we put that as an attaboy. We write it up in front of everybody. They get that attaboy. They get the comments read to you, that you gave to us, and they get to throw a dart at the dartboard. That's dollars. You hit triple 20, you just got $60 on your paycheck. And for things like that, I think it's been amazing. Even going around the room and saying, "Hey, stand up, tell us what you did last week." It has nothing to do with business. What are you looking forward to? I really like the company meetings. And you do have to lock the door, though. Because it's funny, after a few times, everybody starts to come, and they get early, and they, you know, and they're talking, and they're having a good time. So it's you can't do it monthly. You have to do it every single week, and you have to make it an experience.
And it's an experience for your employees that translates into an experience for your customers.
Every time.
And that being said, we're about to go into our final break before our last segment here. I'm joined with Andrew John of John's Refrigeration, talking about customer service, raving fans, and everything in between. If you're listening, give us a shout out on Twitter at Impromptu Guru. Whether you're listening live or listening later, we love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning into Communication Nation. We'll be right back.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Communication is the key to success, both on and off the field. I'm communication expert Jill Schiffelbein, the Impromptu Guru. As a former athlete, I know what it takes to be successful as you go from the locker room to the boardroom and all points in between. I will teach you presentation, communication, confidence. With skills like that, you know you'll always be in business. Get the tools you need to succeed at impromptuguru.com/athletes. Again, that's impromptuguru.com/athletes.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Do you want to know what's really going on these days? Well, Capital Thinking takes you inside the worlds of policy, politics, law, and business. What happens in Washington, on Wall Street, and in our nation's legal system impacts your business every day. We're taking you on a behind-the-scenes tour of all of it. Each week, we bring you unfiltered conversation with a variety of influential policymakers, lawyers, and business leaders. I'm Kevin O'Neill, and I'm your host as Capital Thinking tours the halls of power. Join me for Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network each Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are tuned in to Communication Nation with Jill Schiffelbein. Do you have a question for Jill? Send an email and she'll answer it on a future program. The email address is jill@impromptuguru.com. That's jill@impromptuguru.com. Now back to Communication Nation.
All right, everyone, welcome back. And I'm laughing because, and some of you have heard this on other shows, you know, I have the little Communication Nation jingle, and now there's this dance I've made up with it, and it always makes my guests laugh. So if they're even nervous or uncomfortable at all, it always makes them smile. And then the fun ones, by the end of the show, they're doing it along with me, and Andrew just did. So maybe we should have video in here today because that would be hilarious. I absolutely love it. So, you know, maybe when you listen to the show, you have a little dance that you do to the jingle. That would be awesome. Tell me about it. I'd love to hear it. Or maybe I'm just the only nutty one at this time in the morning. So in any event, let's get back to our conversation today about customer service and creating raving fans. Before we left off, we were in this discussion about how Andrew with his company has weekly meetings. And so once a month, it's the whole company, which is about 25, 30 people.
Right.
And then once, the other weeks, it's department specific. So maybe it's office specific or in the field specific, et cetera. And people get those attaboys, they get those accolades. I would definitely become very well versed in darts if I worked for your company. That's fun. You know, that little extra cash definitely helps in every situation. But one of the things that you said, you know, is that you lock the door at 7 a.m. And to me, that says it's really putting the onus of responsibility on the employees, where so many companies will let employees skate by with that. You don't. And we kind of rushed into break because we were having this great conversation. I just wanted to say, Andrew, do you have anything about those weekly meetings that you wanted to say to the listeners to wrap up?
I think just that they've progressed as we've progressed, and we're always looking for people who are doing it differently or better than we are and trying to take ideas away from them. So, you know, the idea of having the attaboys, the idea of locking the door, it was amazing what that actually did. The idea of turning your cell phone off, and if it goes off, you put $5 in the pot. You know, just things like that. And then, you know, the first time they hate it. And then when somebody's late, everybody makes fun of them and laughs because they get breakfast, you know, and this guy's sitting outside waiting till 8 o'clock to come in. So I think in a way it you know, obviously you get your points across, but we try and make it fun, you know, do things that make them want to be there, because let's face it, not everybody wants to get up and go to meeting, you know, and not everybody understands how much time gets put into them. So those little things really, I think, just have allowed it to make it better, where we get more participation, I think.
And I like that. And one of the things that you said that's important for everyone to think of, people may hate this at first. People are adverse to change. People don't always like change. But when you implement it in a way that is purposeful and, another keyword here, consistent, then you can start to have people seeing the benefits of this change, and you let them buy into the process. You let them become part of the process. You let them suggest ideas for speakers they'd like to see. You let them suggest ideas for things that they want help on. And then you create this experience around these meetings. And so the idea of customer service, I'm going to throw this out there as a challenge, but the idea of customer service just doesn't apply to your customers. The idea of customer service equaling experience plus relationships, that also applies to your employees too. Their experience working for your company is all about the relationships that you foster with them and how much they feel a part of the experience. And so as we're going into, you know, this last segment and wrapping up here, I asked Andrew to share with us, you know, if he has, you know, business owners, people thinking about starting a business, small businesses, medium businesses, listening in to this radio show today, what are some key pieces of advice that you've learned about customer service and providing it, creating these raving fans that you really want to leave with people today?
I think there's a lot of things that, you know, that's a huge question. One of the things that I've always thought about is do the right thing every time, no matter what. And not the right thing about what you think is correct. You know, not let me justify why I shouldn't do this for this customer. Because let's face it, some of them don't deserve what you're doing for them. You know, for instance, our money back guarantee. Hey, tough. You know, even if you don't deserve it, you can have it. You know, but that idea of, I think that's the biggest one, because that philosophy of doing it right every single time allows us to treat the customer right every single time. It allows us, it dictates how we fix something if there's a problem or a misunderstanding. It dictates how we do our job, the things that you don't see that we could slack on, you know, a little bit less quality here, save some money here. But is that doing the right thing for the customer every time? No, it's not. So I think all those, that question that you asked me can really be embodied by that statement. Do it right, do the right thing for the customer every single time, what they think is the right thing. And that really, I think, helps to create that raving fan experience, because even if they were right or wrong, they still are like, wow, wait a second. And then you get somebody who can't even hardly complain because you did the right thing.
Right. And you know what's interesting is I had a business professor once, and I love this. Everyone knows a golden rule, right? What's the golden rule? Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Right. And what you just said about treating customers right the way they wanted to be treated, that's not exactly the golden rule. And what I love about this is this professor called it the platinum rule. Do unto others as they would have done unto themselves. And that for me was interesting. I think I was a sophomore or a junior in college when I heard that for the first time. And you always hear golden rule, golden rule, golden rule, which is a great rule. Don't get me wrong. You know, it's treating people well. I'm not disarming that by any means. But it's treating someone the way that they would treat themselves. And you can only know that by having a relationship.
Oh yeah, definitely. And the reason that we have taken that philosophy, you're right, the platinum rule is better. The reason that we've taken that is as we've gone on, you know, I'm involved with some different organizations, and it's funny. Every time we come up or find a customer service issue, it's always because the company didn't just do the right thing for the customer. They wanted to make a point, or they wanted to save themselves, you know, $100 here or there. And what they got out of it was a bad reputation. And that's what we never, never want. So that's why we've adopted that, treating people the way they want to be treated and making sure that we do the right thing every single time.
And it sounds so simple, but you know what? It really is.
It really is.
Andrew, thank you so much for being on Communication Nation today. It's always fun to talk to you, and we're going to go have breakfast and have some more conversation after this. But again, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me. It was very fun.
Good, good, good. And as we're wrapping up, and I still haven't gotten the theme music for the takeaway of the day, boys in the studio, help me with this. We need to get this down. So voila, the magic takeaway of the day for today, August 27th, 2013, my daddy's birthday. Happy birthday again, Daddy. I love you. The takeaway for the day is this: customer service, the equation for good customer service is experience plus relationships. And if you're going to do it, you want to do it right, and you want to do it all the time. That's what we talked about today in order to create these raving fans. So here's my challenge for all of you. Sit down and really start to think about what your customer experience is now. versus what you want your customer experience to be. But don't do this in isolation. Ask. Ask your existing customers for feedback. Ask potential customers for feedback. Ask your family and friends what they would want in an experience with X, an experience with Y. Get that feedback, because what's really interesting is that you don't always have the same perception of experience as your customers do. And it's really important to meet people where they are at when you're providing a service, when you're providing value for people. Sure, eventually you can get them to come on your side and see things differently, but when you're starting out, you need to provide the experience that they're expecting and then go above and beyond. Meet those base expectations and go above and beyond. So really sit down and brainstorm. What is your current customer experience? What do you want your customer experience to be like? And then what do your customers see as the experience? And that's so important, because you can't create customer service without customers. Don't do it in a vacuum. It's not going to work. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Communication Nation. Happy to have you. Give us some feedback at Impromptu Guru. Email me, jill@impromptuguru.com, or message me through the host page. I love to hear from you and would love to hear what you'd like to listen to on future shows. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll talk again next week.
Please join your host, Jill Schiffelbein, again next Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel, because communication matters.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.